Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Shnupad Paramahansa Paravakacharya Asa Satatata Shishamad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kizai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravakacharya Asa Satatata Shishamad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kizai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kizai Hemji Gahan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Kizai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanath Sham Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Kijai Shri Navan Dham Kijai Mathura Dham Kijai Navabhi Dham Kijai Jagannathpuri Dham Kijai Jamuna Mayi Ganga Mayi Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Kijai Nitai Gaur Premananda All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Text 27. Dana dharma raja dharmam.
Dana dharma raja dharmam.
Moksha dharmam vibhagasa.
Moksha dharmam vibhagasa.
Sri dharmam bhagavat dharmam.
Sri dharmam bhagavat dharmam.
Samasa vyasa yogata.
Samasa vyasa yogata.
Samasa vyasa yogata.
Samasa vyasa yogata.
Dana dharman raja dharman.
Dana dharman raja dharman.
Moksha dharman vibhagasa.
Moksha dharman vibhagasa.
Sri dharman bhagavad dharman.
Sri dharman bhagavad dharman.
Samasa vyasa yogata.
Samasa vyasa yogata.
Please chant. Dharmam, the acts of charity. Raja Dharman,
pragmatic activities of the kings.
Moksha Dharman,
the acts for salvation.
Vibhagasa, by divisions. Sri Dharman, duties of women.
Bhagavat Dharmam,
the acts of the devotees.
Samasa,
generally.
Yas,
explicitly.
Yogata,
by means of. He then explained, by divisions, acts of charity, the pragmatic activities of a king, and activities for salvation. Then he described the duties for women and devotees, both briefly and extensively. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. To give charity is one of the householder's main functions, and he should be prepared to give in charity at least 50% of his hard-earned money. A brahmachari or student should perform sacrifices. A householder should give charity, and a person in the retired life or in the renounced order should practice penance and austerities. Those are the general functions of all the ashrams, or orders of life on the path of self-realization.
In the brahmachari life, the training is sufficiently imparted so that one may understand that the world is as property, belongs to the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. No one, therefore, can claim to be the proprietor of anything in this world. Therefore, in the life of a householder, which is a sort of license for sex enjoyment, one must give in charity for the service of the Lord. Everyone's energy is generated or borrowed from the reservoir of energy of the Lord. Therefore, the resultant actions of such energy must be given to the Lord in the shape of transcendental loving service for Him. As the rivers draw water from the sea through the clouds and again go down to the sea, similarly, our energy is borrowed from the Supreme Source, the Lord's energy, and it must be returned to the Lord. That is the perfection of our energy. The Lord, therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27, says that whatever we do, whatever we undergo as penance, whatever we sacrifice, whatever we eat, or whatever we give in charity must be offered to Him, the Lord. That is the way of utilizing our borrowed energy. When our energy is utilized in that way, our energy is purified from the contamination of material inebrieties, and thus we become fit for our original natural life of service to the Lord. Om Gyanam Timaram Tasya Dhanajana Salakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this purport is very lengthy, and we'll talk about this first part and then continue on. So Prabhupada brings up this point in the purport, borrowed energy. What does borrowed mean? Borrowed, first of all, means that whatever the object is, it doesn't belong to you. It is property of someone else. It's on loan. And there usually is the intention of returning it, sometimes with interest. So we are borrowing this energy. We are borrowing time. Actually, you could say we're on borrowed time. Does anyone own time? We're actually on borrowed time. We are also dependent on what we borrow and whom we borrow from. So does that make us debtors? Debtors are always in anxiety. Debt is a source of misery. Does anyone know someone who's in debt who's very joyous about it? Oh, I'm so happy. I'm in debt for $10,000. Is that a joyful thing? And what about if someone's in debt for $100,000? He used to be more joyful? No. This is not a joyful thing, to be in debt. How can we come free from this debt? Srila Prabhupada said that an animal is happy when he has food. A human being is happy when he is free, when he's not in bondage. And debt binds us. So in this world, we are never free, and we're always bound or dependent on something. Actually, we are in so much debt to so many things that it is impossible to pay all this debt back. We're in debt to the sun, to the moon, to the earth, to the vegetables, to the farmers, to our parents. At every moment of our life, we're in debt to something. We're in debt to the air. That's why air is so precious to us. Why? Why is air so precious?
We need it to live.
Without air, no prana, no life. So air is so, so precious to us. And that's why this coronavirus and masks and everything else that goes with it, this horrible disease, it is so disturbing. Because it takes away our breath. In fact, there are great yogis who go to the Himalayas and perform great austerities to suspend their breath, Prabhupada one time said at Kumbh Mela, the devotees saw so many Baba Naga Babas coming from the Himalayas, and big long beards, and they looked very youthful, very, very youthful. And Prabhupada said that some of these Babas were over 300 and 400 years old. Why? Because they sustained their breath. But ultimately, we don't own time, and ultimately the breath will run out. So is that what we're supposed to do with this borrowed energy? Suspend our breath? So actually we are debtors. For everything in this world, somehow we're dependent debtors. We're in debt to the demigods, to the parents, to the teacher, to the farmers. We're in debt up to here. So is that a relationship with Krishna? Is our relationship with Krishna based on debt? So how to pay this debt? Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he says, everyone's energy is generated or borrowed from the reservoir of energy of the Lord. Therefore, the resultant actions of such energy must be given to the Lord in the shape of transcendental loving service for him. So our energy is borrowed from the Supreme Source, the Lord's energy, and it must be returned to the Lord. That is the perfection of our energy. Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika 5, oh my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Somehow or another, I have fallen to this ocean of material suffering of repeated birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. This is a clue. This is a clue how to get out of death. Because what happens when you place yourself at someone's lotus feet? You become submissive and humble and a servant. You become a servant when you place yourself at the lotus feet of the Lord. There is a wonderful quote in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, volume, chapter 20, text 108. So that number is very significant, it's 108. You got to know that there's going to be a very special verse if it's in 108. Jivera Swarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. It is a living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna. This is very, very profound, and there it is, three times we see it. We see it everywhere. We are servants. We are servants of Krishna. So once we know that we're servants of Krishna, we know what to do with the borrowed energy. It says in the Bhagavatam 11.5.41, one becomes free from all obligations to the demigods, saintly persons, pitas, ancient forefathers, etc., if one is completely engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So what is devotional service? What is devotional service? Anyone know what devotional service is? Okay, thank you. Okay, there's so many definitions of what devotional service is. Basically, devotional service is acting with all of our activities to the pleasure of the Lord. I heard a wonderful lecture the other night. It was from Los Angeles, 1972, I think. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.20. Srila Prabhupada, this quote just like jumped right out at me. Devotional service of the Lord is rendered by all limbs or all parts of the body. It is the transcendental dynamic force of the spirit soul. Devotional service is the transcendental dynamic force of the spirit soul. That just did it for me. That means the essence of who we are, that dynamic force, is devotional service to Krishna. And all Krishna wants for all of this borrowed energy that we have, that we're using, all he really wants is a loving relationship with us. That's all he wants. He's God. And he just, all he wants, he's giving us everything pretty much free. Okay, there's a little bit, borrowed energy. But all he wants is our love. I thought that was very humble. So I looked up in the Nectar of Devotion, the qualities of Krishna, and I was actually looking for Krishna's humble. But I didn't find it. But I did find that Krishna is controlled by love. And that just, you know, I can fall apart from that. Krishna is controlled by love. We're all controlled by love, actually. If I ask somebody to do something, Jatari, go and bring me that thing. I mean, you might do it because it's a gentle Vaishnava, but if I said it, Jatari, please forgive me, could you get me that? I need to do something. It's the whole thing changes. It becomes a loving experience because we're controlled by love. You understand when you go out on Sankirtan, if you ask someone, you demand that they take the book, and, you know, they know that you're there for an ulterior motive. You don't have their best interest in mind. They're not going to give you anything. They're not going to give you the time of day, but to speak of submissive oral reception. But if you go up with an open heart and you're filled with love, these people are starving for love. Not only the people out these doors, we are all starving for love. That's the thing that keeps us going. That's the thing that will motivate us. So Krishna also wants that experience. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya, for love. So, Krishna is kind. He's giving us everything, and all he wants is our love. In this verse, it is mentioned divisions of society. The brahmacharis, the grihasthas, the vanapras, sannyasi, and under those four categories, there are so many divisions of society. Divisions of society based on age, based on propensity, based on desire, based on the kinds of food we like. It's infinite. In other words, everyone's an individual with different likes and dislikes and different propensities to engage in any kind of service, Krishna service, Maya service. We are all, this is a nice verse from the Krishna book, Prayers of the Personified Vedas. Now that's pretty authoritative. The Supreme Lord, as he desires, is engaging all living entities in different activities, and thus they exhibit different talents and tendencies. So we're not supposed to be all the same. We're supposed to be different. Sometimes I think, oh wow, that devotee is so wonderful. Maybe I should try what they're doing. And I try to imitate. And it doesn't come out successfully. Even though it's very impure and there's a lot of faults, I'm really good at being me. I'm probably better at being me than everyone else. If I asked you, okay, you're gonna be me. You wouldn't do it quite as well as I can do it, right? Because we're all individuals and we are supposed to use these propensities and individual talents to pay back this debt, to this borrowed energy. This is what Krishna's lending us. He's giving us this borrowed energy to use it, each one of us individually, in a loving relationship, in a very unique, special loving relationship with him. Also, Srila Prabhupada built a house the whole world could live in. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean as soon as you walk into the house, everybody dresses the same, everybody sounds the same, everybody looks the same, everybody eats the same food, everybody thinks the same? No. Don't be afraid to be who we are. We have this relationship with Krishna. He wants us to love him, not the way someone else will love him, because that person's doing fine. That person has a loving relationship with Krishna. And if we aren't true to our own selves in our relationship with Krishna, no one will be satisfied. We won't be satisfied. We won't be satisfied. Krishna's always satisfied, but he's trying to milk us. He's trying to milk us so that we will love him through that energy that he has given us. So, I I would like to read something from the Divine Love Trip, my book, that Prabhupada said about variety. This is a combination of two lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave, one in England and one in Mayapur. Krishna is not stereotyped. Everything can be utilized for Krishna. Krishna is not a stereotype, stagnant, block. Krishna is a dynamic force. Therefore, everything can be dovetailed in the service of Krishna. Simply, one should learn the art, under proper guidance, how to utilize. Then, that will be perfect form of Krishna consciousness. Variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So Krishna wants this variety. So all you are devotees, you, the eternal point is to love Krishna and offer him service. But that service may be a variety. You cannot claim that because you are serving Krishna in a type, and therefore if somebody else is in a different, must be approved by authority, you cannot criticize. Varieties. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. It is not that I have to act exactly like you. I'll have to serve Krishna, but no mental concoction. Following the footstep. Again, you can create variety, but must not deviate from the original authority. That is wanted. So actually, I wanted to read at this point a poem. I know Mukhya read one poem, but this is a real short one. It's called Krishna's Party. When Krishna has a party, everyone's invited. On his invitation list, no one is ever slighted. It's really up to each of us if we would like to go. His door is always open. Tell everyone you know. Krishna's never stereotyped with just one way to live. He's accepting all your love as only you can give. Always in your heart of hearts where he has made his throne, forging through this world of darts, you are not alone. If while walking down the road I encountered me, would I greet myself with love, glad at what I see? Would the vision in those eyes be loving and be kind? Would they behold with empathy or selfishly be blind? To the suffering one might feel when he's left behind, with the bruises of his life and his troubled mind. I'm looking for myself. Did you see me around? If I try to be like you, is that how I'll be found? We are servants of the Lord. We have our rightful place. And if we're true unto ourselves, we'll find our inner grace. So now I would like to go on to the next part of the purport. Raja Dharma is a great science. Unlike modern diplomacy for political supremacy, the kings were trained systematically to become munificent and not merely tax collectors. They were trained to perform different sacrifices only for the prosperity of the subject. To lead the prajas to the attainment of salvation was a great duty to the king. The father, the spiritual master, and the king are not to become irresponsible in the matter of leading their subjects to the path of ultimate liberation from birth, death, disease, and old age. When these primary duties are properly discharged, there is no need of government of the people by the people. In modern days, the people in general occupy the administration by strength of manipulated votes, but they are never trained in the primary duty of the king, and that is also not possible for everyone. Well, Prabhupada says here that by the people and for the people, it will not be necessary because the people's interests are already being very much fulfilled. And the king takes great responsibility. The leader takes responsibility for the interest of the people. So the people don't have to elect a separate person to fulfill these duties. Under the circumstances, the untrained administrators play havoc to make the subjects happy in all respects. On the other hand, these untrained administrators gradually become rogues and thieves and increase taxation to finance a top-heavy administration that is useless for all purposes. Actually, the qualified brahmanas are meant to give direction to the kings for proper administration in terms of the scriptures like the Manasamhita and Dharma Shastras of Parasara. See, this we're talking about truth, eternal truth, which doesn't change according to different times. Of course, we have the Yuga Dharma, which is specific for the Kali Yuga, but truth does not change. These scriptures are for all people, for all times. Srila Prabhupada wrote his books not only for the people here now. This is for everyone because they're truthful. A typical king is the ideal of the people in general, and if the king is pious, religious, chivalrous, and munificent, the citizens generally follow him. Such a king is not a lazy, sensuous person living at the cost of the subjects, but alert always to kill thieves and dacoits. The pious kings were not merciful to dacoits and thieves in the name of nonsensical ahimsa. That's Prabhupada, non-violence. The thieves and dacoits were punished in an exemplary way so that in the future, no one would dare commit such nuisances in an organized form. Such thieves and dacoits were never meant for administration as they are now. So that's the, this purport goes on, but that's all I'm supposed to speak about today. And of course that Srila Prabhupada almost verbatim quoted this from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable deity, a worshipable demigod. So where are we going to find that person? Who is that person who will help us and teach us how to use this borrowed energy so that we can become free from birth, death, old age, and disease? I don't know if any of the elected officials we see around us today can do that in any country, in any organization, in any place. Who is that qualified person to lead the praja out of this material world, free from the cycle of birth and death? So what do we do with our borrowed energy? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada referred to himself as more than a king. He came to this world to establish something that was missing. He didn't come to take anything from this world. He even said that. He did not come to take anything. He did not want to imitate the material energy. He came to give the spiritual world. He came to give us an alternative to materialistic life and to teach his followers what to do, what the proper use to do with that borrowed energy, how to awaken that dynamic force within us. That's what Prabhupada came to do. He did not even need help from anyone, and he didn't get help from anyone. He came to give us something that there was a definite lack in our society. And he was not interested in imitating anything material. He came to establish Daivi Varnashram, which basically is engaging everyone with their propensities, their individual nature, in the service of Krishna, which is the only thing that will satisfy everyone, since it is the dynamic force of the spirit soul. So Srila Prabhupada's temples were an oasis in the desert. I myself, I'm sure many of the older devotees, and even now, you walk into a temple, it's like you're walking into the spiritual world. It has nothing to do with the material world. There's no politics. Well, maybe as years go on, there are politics. But basically, Prabhupada didn't come to give us politics. He came to give us the divine absolute truth which takes us takes up all of our time. When we first became devotees, I remember walking up the steps of 439 Henry Street in Brooklyn, New York. And I walked into the temple and closed the doors behind me, and Brooklyn faded away. New York faded away. The United States faded away. The material world faded away. We enter a different zone. We entered a different zone, isn't it? You walk into one of the Prabhupada's temples, you enter a different zone. So he came to give us that sacred space, that spiritual energy. And it's not that it's in a building. It is in a building too. It's in a temple, in our homes, in our hearts. He came to awaken that sacred space and teach us about our eternal divine nature. That's what he came to do. And I feel very passionate about maintaining that. I feel it's our duty as his followers and disciples to maintain that purity, to keep our own hearts pure with this philosophy. And how do we do it? If you grow a garden, no matter what you plant, it could be avocado, it could be lettuce, tomatoes, it could be a cherry tree, or mangoes, whatever it is, spinach. If you grow a garden, marigolds, every single plant, though it is different, it needs the same thing to survive, right? What does it need? Good soil, water, and sunshine. Very simple. This is not a difficult thing. So we as living entities, in order to cultivate our bhakti lata, our plant of devotion, and through which we will engage in so many different activities because we're all different, what do we need to survive? What is our nutrition? Shravanam Kirtanam. We need to hear from the pure devotee, and we need to chant the holy name. That's why for the first 3 decades that I was a devotee, and many other people, I'm sure, we did not know who the president was. Does that mean we were in illusion? We were using all of our time, energy, focus to learn what Srila Prabhupada gave us and to give it to others. We had something sacred, and we have that we give to others. That we give. We don't take. Actually, if you go on Sankirtan, you can see these people out there. You don't want them to talk very much because they don't really have much to say. What are they going to say to change your life? Nothing. You already have that dynamic force that has been awakened, and you're understanding what to do with that borrowed energy of the Lord, because you have met a pure devotee who has come only for the purpose to wake you up. So I hope as devotees and followers of Srila Prabhupada, we will take that very seriously, making that our life and soul. Prabhupada was totally absorbed. I listened to Prabhupada every night. When I would do, in the morning when I'm doing my puja, and when I'm cooking, and just Prabhupada, just hearing him speak this philosophy and reading his books, you can understand he is fully absorbed. He does not need help from the materialistic society to fill his mind with what's going on out there and how we can fix it. We know how to fix it. The only way to fix it is to become Krishna conscious, because the nature of this material world is actually that it's temporary. That means it's always in the destruction mode. There's always misery. It's not going to be fixed. It's against its nature. Sometimes it looks good, but then it's bad. Summer comes, then winter comes. So our job, really, to our spiritual master, to the way we fulfill our duty for this borrowed energy, is to take what he has given to us and make that the center and most important thing in our lives. So I would like to stop here And now, of course, we have a wonderful little Prabhupada clip due to the mercy of my husband. And we have to follow in his footsteps, and we can hear what Srila Prabhupada says about this very important topic. Who is that person who can give us information about how to use our borrowed energy? Louder. Thank you. So So, does anyone have anything to add to Tari Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class. A couple of things. I think Krishna says to Arjuna, it's better to perform, better not to perform someone else's duty perfectly. And let's see, how do you say it? He says, it's better to perform your own duty imperfectly than to perform someone else's duty perfectly. Not sure which verse that is. But it's a real difficulty that we have in this society, that in the Varnashram system, people would have a sense of what their propensity is. And so many of us are lost and misplaced in this world. Like, fortunately, Srila Prabhupada came along and gave us Krishna consciousness, which is perfect, but not to do an advertisement, but my brother-in-law, Devarshi, he does this beautiful system called Human Design, and it's an amazing, it's almost like a how would you say, a picture of a person, and all it shows what their strengths and weaknesses are. It's quite amazing. But we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us this ability to pay back our debt by preaching Krishna consciousness. It's like, wow, it's amazing. So,
thank you. That's true. Thank you so much. Anyone else?
Very nice class. I really appreciate Mother Samadhi. The dharma of one by one, you give a essence, I would say. And thank you for that. And those who are listening online, just next 15 days, please do not text to my cell phone. You can do it on the chat room, and Mother Madhumati is going to relate to the speaker, because I will be in Sannas College, I won't be in the class.
I didn't realize that as you were studying for this, I only heard your sharing with me what you were reading, but in the verse itself, it was describing how Bhishma Dev instructed Yudhisthira in the Dharma of so many different divisions of society. There was the Dharma for the brahmacharis, Dharma for the women, Dharma for the king. And and then hearing Srila Prabhupada's purport explaining that you can perform all those duties perfectly, but that isn't the real goal. Dharma svanustita pum sam ikvakshena katha so yatna payet tiratim.
Shamam evahi kevam.
Means all of it's useless if it doesn't help, if it doesn't inspire you and bring you to the point of arati for Krishna's lotus feet.
So that is the goal. That is the goal of our lives as devotees. We want Krishna, and we can very easily get distracted by all of these things that the rest of the world thinks is so important. This is not a new thing. It's always happened since we first became devotees, since Prabhupada first came. He's giving us something that's real. It's up to us. We can keep it chaste and whole and pure, or we can go out and look and see, oh, maybe there's something else out there that I want to do. It's up to us. But Prabhupada is very absorbed, 100%, 100% in Krishna. And we have, as his followers, we have to have faith that that's the goal of life, that's the answer, that's what to do with this dynamic force.
Very good. My point is, Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu is right, but at the same time, when we practice in devotional path, what Prabhupada gave, I felt also both sides, that other dharma, like for an example, ultimate goal is Krishna bhakti, but I also want to enjoy life. I don't want to tell the devotees that I want to have a nice car, nice house, nice wife, nice husband, bigger bank balance, and I can't just give up, you know, just saying it, I won't give up. It will be like dwelling in my consciousness. So the other dharmas that Prabhupada's purport giving is also necessary to balance like side by side. I want to go on sadhana, but I want to also, I cannot just run away from...
Well, may I comment on that? Lord Chaitanya himself says, I do not want wealth. I do not desire wealth. I do not desire sex. I do not desire any number of followers. My only desire is their causeless devotional service, birth after birth. I must admit, that was hard for me to say. That was hard for me to say. It's been hard for me to say for many years. But this, eventually, that's what the process does. The process, except for the last part, birth after birth, I'm still not comfortable saying that. But the process of Krishna consciousness is all-encompassing. And eventually, we will come to the point. Of course, everybody has to be engaged in different things. That's the propensities. That's what we have to do. But the essence of our life, where we spend most of our time, where our consciousness really is, that's on Krishna. That's on the goal of our life. What do we really want? Do I really want to make money so I can buy that car that I want? Okay, I want a car, and I want a nice car. That's nice, and I'm going to spend all my time absorbed in that. Okay, that's not what Prabhupada came to give. You can do that. That it's our free choice. But if you want what Prabhupada, that oasis in this desert of material life, if you want that, just get absorbed in what Prabhupada had to say. Read his books, chant Hare Krishna, and go for the absolute truth. Awaken that dynamic force in the spirit soul. But Prabhupada said, that is what devotional service is. That's very attractive to me. Maybe it's because I've suffered more from life after life, and you're just so pure and you haven't suffered.
Also, another point, just to give a little more, because you hit the point, I appreciate that. Lot of devotees in our movement really don't have a passion, a lot, but many that I investigated don't have a clear idea about Bhishma Dev talking about this dharma, but he did not act. It's the same question coming back. He did not act in Draupadi's disrobing pastimes. He did not act of converting Duryodhan as a devotee. I mean, I'm not saying anything wrong or right. Bhishma Dev is Mahajan, and I want to keep that vow. But still, the discussion has to be there, why he did. Like, for an example, today is the Sri Dharma. One of the dharma, Sri Dharma, and Mother Draupadi was there also. That incident also took place. And it's not an ultimate goal, but it is necessary. Otherwise, mind will be disturbed.
Well, we have to accept, first of all, there are some things that we don't understand. Being little, insignificant, small, and everything. We're very, very small. Our brains are small. We're on this earth planet, which is very, very small. Our capacity to understand dharma is very, very small. Bhishma is Mahajan, so that we accept. And if we don't understand his behavior, it's not his fault. We have to understand that we, because of our attachment to matter, we are not aware of many, many things that are happening. That's what I have resolved, that I don't know things. And if I get, what, is it going to help me to doubt the Mahajans? And I really want to inquire, and everybody wants to know, what is this? Too many facts. We have to find that person who we can hear from and we trust. If you trust someone, even if you don't understand it, you can accept it. But you must first find that person who is a pure devotee who will not cheat. So that you can even accept things that you don't understand. That's a difficult one. You're right. It's difficult. Somehow or another, my husband brought it up in his class the other day that Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. So we have to accept that. He's Mahajan. And we'll understand later when we get finished with the bodily concept of life and the desire for all these material things. We'll become more self-realized. Okay?
I just wanted to read a couple of appreciation from YouTube.
Thank you.
Dina Dwarkalila Devidasi. Hare Krishna Swami Priya Prabhu, thank you for this class and poetry filled with so much encouragement for each of us to run every single day to our Gurudev and to Krishna in our creative uniqueness. And then from Nanda, thanks Swami Priya Prabhu for a great class. You're such a poet and a unique individual who is totally surrendered to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Thanks for your inspiration. Can't wait to hear your next class. And I want to also myself thank you, Swami Priya Prabhu. It's like reading your book. It's like a champu. You have the poetry and then you're giving the class. So it's like you alive in like your book. I had other comments, but we run out of time. So at 9 o'clock.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your attention. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Last one, you must give another class. You have to keep on going. You have to keep on going.